It's the story and song of our need to realize we can't find the way ourselves. And we need God's leading and God's direction in everything, in the matter of drawing us to Himself for salvation, in the matter of leading and directing in our lives as we live for Him as believers. So appreciate Adam and Valerie singing that for us this evening. Let me have you open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And just kind of a forecast of where we're going to go here. After our evangelistic meetings, then in the morning services, we'll be beginning a series looking at the life of Elijah. And the evening series, I think we'll finally get to just doing something of a panorama of the New Testament. So that's where we will go beginning here after our evangelistic meetings. But for this evening, I want us to look at what I consider a rather unique couple in the pages of Scripture. And I'm going to start with a quiz here, okay? Let me ask you to do this. If you have something to write down on, then you jot some things down. If you don't, catalog what you can in your mind. But I want you to think of the names of some married couples in the Bible. Okay, just think of some names of married couples in the Bible. And I'll give you just half a minute or a minute, and you jot down the first names that come to your mind. Some you can abbreviate, whatever. This is just for you. I won't collect them. I won't grade them. I won't read your scores. But just jot down some names. If you're visiting with us, we don't normally start with a quiz. Silence always makes us uncomfortable. All right, so let me ask you this. Do you have more New Testament names or Old Testament names? How many have more Old Testament names? How many have more New Testament names? One, my wife. Two, three. Okay, a few. I just went through and brainstormed a list, and I found it much easier to come up with a longer list of Old Testament couples. And now in the New Testament, you've got Mary and Joseph, and you've got Elizabeth and Zacharias and Ananias and Sapphira. Was it Felix and Drusilla? Herod and his wife, Peter and his wife. But really, the number of couples that are identified in the New Testament is a fairly small list. There's a lot of emphasis on different things, and there's allusions. But there aren't that many that are clearly given. But one that is clearly given, and this is where we're going to give our attention to tonight, is a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. And really, they are a unique example given to us. Is there some feedback here I'm hearing a little bit? Or is that just, am I just hearing that here? Are you hearing that? Okay. Well, that's good. Then maybe it's just all in my mind, but... All right, so there's a unique example given to us in the New Testament of a devoted couple serving the Lord together. And tonight I want to consider their lives and ministry. Now, if you're not married, there's plenty here for you to learn as well. You may be younger, you may be older, you may be single, you may be married, but this is a couple that is characterized, their lives are marked by devotion. And so we just want to look at them tonight. But there are some unique aspects to their life and ministry that I think that will be helpful for us, and certainly for couples particularly so. Because there are just some things about the way they live their lives that is helpful for us in thinking about it in terms of husband and wife serving the Lord together. Now, Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned exactly 6 times in the New Testament. By the time we're done tonight, we will have looked at all 6 of those texts. So what I'm going to do is begin by reading here in Acts 18, where this couple is mentioned 3 different times. So this is 3 of the 6. So let's start here, Acts 18, verse 1. It says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla." And the reason they'd found their way there was because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And Paul came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, He abode with them and wrought and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Okay, now let's skip down to verse 18. So Acts 18, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there. Now he's there in Corinth. So he tarried there in Corinth yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now let's skip down to verse 26, Acts 18, 26. And he, Apollos, and this is still in Ephesus, he, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he, speaking of Apollos, mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But there we have three different mentions there in Acts 18 of Aquila and Priscilla. We're going to just take a look at some observations, some characteristics about their life. The title of the message tonight is this, Aquila and Priscilla, A Portrait of Devotion. So let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the things that you teach us in the Word of God by the examples that you give. Sometimes you teach us by precept and by command, by specific instruction and explanation. But oftentimes there are things that we can learn by looking at the examples of those that you have chosen to record for us who have gone before. Some are bad examples. Examples of people turning their back on you. Examples of people denying your name, failing you, falling into sin. But sometimes we see examples of faithful men and women who lived dedicated lives serving you. And Lord, tonight we're privileged to look at this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And Lord, though we don't really know a lot about them, yet we know much about them. And their example ought to be an encouragement and a challenge. Yea, maybe even a rebuke to us. So I pray, Lord, that you would guide my words and thoughts tonight. I pray that you would open the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see in this couple an example of devoted service to you. That we might take stock of our lives, that we might consider, are we faithful in the ways that they were faithful? Are we focused in the ways that they were focused? And Lord, would you use this to exhort us, encourage us on to walk more faithfully with you? And Lord, I would pray that for those who are younger or those who maybe are not married, that they would not minimize the value of this message and these texts about this couple. For indeed, they are first and foremost examples of godly living for you. So we commit this time to you. I ask that you would bless and that you would undertake. Might your Spirit work in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to make just three main observations here regarding the devotion that we see in the lives of Aquila and Priscilla. And the first one does relate to their marriage, and it's this. Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to each other. We read there in the beginning of Acts 18, he says Aquila with his wife Priscilla. And the Scripture gives us the impression that this man and lady were almost inseparable. In all six passages where either one or the other of them appears, they are both named. Sometimes it's Aquila and Priscilla, sometimes it's Priscilla and Aquila, but they are always named together. Never is one of them mentioned without the other. And verse 18 of Acts 18 tells us that they worked together as tent makers. Now we don't know if they had children or not. There's no mention of children. though we can't be certain that there were none, or maybe they were a little older and their children were grown, or maybe God had never given them children. We don't know that, but we know this. They were a faithful husband and wife, and they were bonded together, and they were serving God together. And so their lives are a picture of a husband and wife harmoniously. You know, and you just kind of get the sense of that mutual encouragement and that kind of team mentality between the two of them as they serve God together to the end. And the Scripture doesn't tell us this, but tradition tells us that Aquila and Priscilla were beheaded together for their faith. Aquila was apparently a man who truly loved his wife and cared for her and understood her and effectively led his home and sought to see his wife grow spiritually. And Priscilla was obviously a helper perfectly suited for him. You know, they were devoted companions. And he was a good leader, apparently, and she a very, very supported follower. You know, I am often, and for those of you men and ladies, if you have a husband or a wife who matches you in your love for God, who encourages you in your walk with God, you know, who stands by you in good times and in difficult times, and who helps to keep you focused on loving and serving God with him or her together, you ought thank God daily for the blessing, for the benefit, for the gift that is to you. Because it isn't always the case. You know, we have folks in our assembly. We've had folks in every church that I've ever been a part of where sometimes there are struggles in a marriage and one very much wants to follow the Lord. And the other one, not so, or maybe isn't a believer. And you know, in cases like that, my prayer is just for God to bring that unity, to restore, to strengthen that one. But here we have an example of a couple who, by God's grace, served God together. And God consequently, I think, you know, multiplied their effectiveness. So Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to each other. Second observation that I would make is that Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to God's Word. They were able to apparently discuss the Word with each other and also with Apollos. Now, what we read about Apollos there is that he was a man highly learned in the Old Testament. Acts 18:24 says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. And Apollos was there and he was ministering and he was proclaiming the truth, but apparently Apollos was preaching from an Old Testament perspective. And he was preaching in anticipation of the coming Messiah. And in that sense, he was certainly mighty in the Scripture, and yet he had not come to realize that Jesus was indeed that Messiah. And if you look there in verse 26 of Acts 18, it says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, when they heard what he was saying, what he's preaching, it says, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And from that he went on, verse 28 says, he then mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So here we have a man, a gifted man, a man who was a powerful spokesman for God. He was apparently a great orator. He was apparently a great preacher, speaker, one who could communicate the Word of God with clarity. You know, and God moved him to be able to do that, and yet he had not come to realize that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the promised Messiah. And this man, Aquila and Priscilla, and it names them both together, they took him. And they explained, they helped him to understand, they expounded the Scripture, they helped him to see that Jesus indeed was the perfect fulfillment of all those Old Testament promises. And then he went on to be used by God to preach that message with fullness. But his effectiveness as a preacher of the true gospel was brought about, humanly speaking, by God using this couple. You know, in our circles, we have an understanding about what the Scripture teaches in the New Testament about roles. In our Sunday school class, we talked about this morning. You know, roles within the church and men being in leadership. And there are roles about a woman's role in public ministry. But ladies, never doubt that God greatly uses women who know the Word of God to make a difference in the lives of others. There are some who speculate, I don't hold to this position, but there are some who speculate that that Priscilla is the author of the book of Hebrews. Okay? You know, I hold to apostolic writing of the scriptures, so that doesn't work for me. But you know, those who study history conclude that this was a very learned, studied, godly woman, along with a learned, studied, godly husband. And they sharpened each other. And they certainly had a profound influence upon the life and ministry of one Apollos. And God can use men and ladies to help each other, to encourage each other. There's a place for, you know, the proper roles in public ministry, in public teaching and preaching. But there certainly is also that case of a husband and wife helping each other and challenging each other and encouraging each other as they grow and learn the Word of God together. And as God brings people across their paths, you know, together sharing that and testifying of what God has done in their lives. And I think we see an example of that in the case of Aquila and Priscilla, a couple that were devoted to God's Word. And as we look here a little bit more to their ministry and their lifestyle, I think it'll become obvious to us that they were not just hearers of the Word of God, but they were doers of the Word of God. They were obedient, they were committed, you know, they responded to God's Word faithfully and allowed God to use them. So there's our first two. We're two-thirds of the way there, all right? Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to each other. They were devoted to God's Word. And then the third observation I would make is that Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to ministry. Their service to God was marked by a single-mindedness. Now, from what we can tell, Aquila was not a pastor, was not in a formal church leadership role, if you will. But this couple, they were certainly dedicated servants of God whose lives focused not on their vocational work. They were tent makers, as was Paul. That's kind of how they got connected up with Paul. And there was some sort of an affinity there, and Paul just found them valuable and faithful and supportive, and they began to minister and work with the Apostle Paul. But I think what drew them to Paul and what drew Paul to them was their single-mindedness about ministry. I mean, we understand the Apostle Paul. He kept a fast pace. You know, he had an intense focus. Young John Mark couldn't quite keep that pace, you know, earlier in his life. Demas certainly couldn't handle it, and the pressures of the world drew him away. And there were those who just saw in Paul a man of such intensity that, you know, maybe it was a little bit intimidating to them. But apparently not so for Aquila and Priscilla. You know, they were of a single-minded view towards ministry that their life fit well with the way that the Apostle Paul approached life and ministry. Their service was marked by single-mindedness, but also by hospitality. In particular, using their home for ministry. If you look in Acts 18 and verse 3, we're told that Paul abode with them. Now, you know, the culture and the dynamics in those days were a little bit different than they are in our day. So maybe that was at first kind of a business arrangement between friends, and because it was kind of predicated on their initial connection that they were of the same trade. I don't know that, but I just take that to mean this was a hospitable couple, and they met up with the Apostle Paul, and what all they knew of him and about him and understood, we're not sure, but we know at that point they welcomed him into their home. And they provided a venue there for him to do some work and earn some resources, because he didn't tend to take from the churches, though he could have. Talks about that elsewhere. And they let him stay there with them. In Acts 18:26, we're told that Apollos was taken unto them. You know, maybe that was a meal or two. Maybe that was, again, he came and maybe even lived with them for a while as an itinerant preacher. We aren't sure. But we are sure that they took him unto them. Scripture records that their home was used as a church meeting place in both Ephesus and in Rome. Okay, so let me read one of the, this is the fourth text where we find mention of Aquila and Priscilla. This is 1 Corinthians 16:19. So it's at the end of the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is giving the greetings there. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 16:19. He says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So Paul there is writing from Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla are there in Ephesus. Paul says the churches here are greeting you. The church that meets in the house of Aquila and Priscilla salutes you. And then let me have you turn to Romans 16. And we're going to look at a similar statement there, but then we'll also look at something else here in a couple of minutes. But Romans 16, pages 3 through 5. Romans 16, pages, no. I was thinking of pages in the Pew Bible. Page 1603 in the Pew Bible. Okay, verses 3 through 5 in Romans 16. Here's what Paul says there. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Now, for now, verse 5, here's what I want us to see. "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Now, keep your place there. Okay? But there's a case where this is their church in their house in Rome. So when they're living in Ephesus, Paul references that there was a church that met in their house in Ephesus. When they're living in Rome, Paul mentions that there's a church meeting in their house in Rome. They took Paul in. They took Apollos unto them. They opened their home for the church to meet there. Now, I understand there may be some dynamics that they had means such that that was a more workable arrangement than perhaps it was for others. But nonetheless, this is a couple that were generous about their home, that were given to hospitality. And, you know, much of that falls to the lady who, in those days, as in our days, tend to carry the greater burden of maintaining the household and, you know, dealing with the housing and the care and the preparation for guests. But Aquila and Priscilla together, their ministry was characterized by hospitality. In their service to God, their ministry was also characterized by unselfish commitment to God's work. And hand in hand with that, their loyalty to the Apostle Paul. They faithfully ministered to and with the Apostle Paul, and they did so even when he was apparently intimidated by the persecution. Let me have you take a look at verses 9 and 10. Well, I told you to stay in Romans 16. So you stay there. I'll read verses 9 and 10 from Acts 18. It says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." But there's a passage where Paul apparently is a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit fearful about the persecution there in the church in Corinth. And God gives Paul assurance. He says, "It's okay, Paul. You don't need to be afraid. There are many here I am going to use you to reach." And who was serving side by side with Paul in that fearful time? Aquila and Priscilla. And so they faithfully ministered with him in good times and in harsh times. They were content to be helpers under Paul's leadership. Verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." That's how he identifies them. He doesn't identify them as fellow leaders, though I think they had a lot of leadership influence, but their ministry, their heart, was to be a help to Paul. They recognized Paul's calling, you know, what God was doing through the life of Paul, and they just wanted to help him. Give him a place to live. Speed him on his way. Encourage him. Work with him. You know, take care of whatever responsibilities he might hand to them. But they were content to be helpers under his leadership. And they were willing to give their own lives even to save his. Take a look again at verse 4 there in Romans 16. Paul says, "Who have," and he's speaking of both of them, Priscilla and Aquila, "who have for my life laid down their own necks." And that expression is idiomatic for, you know, something more literal along the lines of submitting their own throats to the knife. I mean, he's basically saying they were willing to lay down their life in order to spare mine, in order to care for me, in my place, in my stead, in whatever it might have been. They uprooted their household at Paul's direction. In Acts 18:18, we're told that when Paul left Corinth, he took Aquila and Priscilla with him. And the implication is he said, hey, let's go do this. And they said, okay. You know, and then they got to Ephesus. And Paul continues on in his journey there, and he left them there. So he says, hey, let's go. And they go to Ephesus, and then he's there for a while. And then he moves on, and he leaves them there in Ephesus. And as it turns out, if you kind of trace through these six instances, the one more instance we haven't looked at is 2 Timothy 4:19, which simply is another salutation. Salute Prissa, which is a shortened version of Priscilla. Salute Prissa and Aquila. But if you piece together these things, okay, in Acts 18 and verse 2, they were in Rome. In Acts 18, a little bit later in verse 2, they came from Rome, they went to Corinth. In Acts 18:18, we're told that Paul took them with him from Corinth to Ephesus. And then he left them there. In Romans 16, a little bit later, we find them in Rome. And then in 2 Timothy 4:19, we find them in Ephesus, because Paul sends greetings to them via Timothy, who is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. So they're from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus to Rome to Ephesus, and they apparently are just kind of adopting this itinerant lifestyle, them as a couple, because that is how God saw fit to use them. Ministering, helping Paul, serving in these various churches. When they were in Rome, Paul hadn't been there yet. He's writing to the Romans, not having yet come to them, but they are there. I don't know if Paul said, hey, Aquila and Priscilla, why don't you guys go to Rome and see what's going on there? And when I get there, you know, we'll have some blessed fellowship together. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was their business travels intersecting with their ministry outlook and intersecting with Paul, what Paul desired. But this was a couple who were willing to go where God sent them. And everywhere they went, they got a church in their house. They're gathering with the believers. They are there helping. They are there serving. They are there responding, you know, faithfully and willingly to Paul's leadership and to the leadership of others. So here you have a couple, and their ministry is characterized by single-mindedness. It's characterized by hospitality. It's characterized by commitment. And one more, their lives were examples of perseverance in ministry. You know, again, if you trace through those different places where they are mentioned. Acts 18, when they come there to Corinth, that's about AD 51 or 52. When they're in Ephesus, that's somewhere in the window of AD 53 to 55. When Paul writes to Rome and they're there in Rome, that's something like AD 56. And then when he sends those final greetings via Timothy at the end of 2 Timothy, that's about AD 67. So from the first time we are introduced to Aquila and Priscilla to the time when Paul sends that last greeting, it's not necessarily the last for them yet, but the last for Paul, it's the last thing he's going to write, there is a span of about 16 years. And during those 16 years, they ministered as a minimum Corinth, Ephesus, Rome, Ephesus, and maybe there were some other opportunities along the way. And tradition would say they continued to minister for some time after that. But this was a couple that was single-minded, and they persevered in their ministry. They didn't get tired out and throw in the towel and say, man, 16 years at this pace is too much. It's time for a break. You know, they just continued ministering with that single-minded desire to serve. So what we have here in the example of Aquila and Priscilla is an amazing ministry couple, to say the least. You know, devoted to each other, devoted to God's Word, devoted to ministry. And really, they are for us a portrait of devotion. And what we conclude, you know, about their impact is that their devotion to God, I believe, greatly enriched the lives and ministries of one another, greatly enriched the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. You know, they had great impact in the life and ministry of the eloquent preacher Apollos. And they had a lot of impact on all the churches. Those that met in their homes, those that they had occasion to intersect with and serve with. Just because they were faithful, devoted people with a single-minded desire to serve God. And folks, we would do well to just catch that example and follow it and live it out. You know, and I'm thankful that a story not necessarily unlike that could be written of some of you here. It might not be exactly the same description. But you know, we have folks who are willing to do what God calls them to do, willing to go where God calls them to go, willing to help where there's opportunity to help, willing to lead when there's need for someone to lead, and willing to serve, willing to give, willing to be hospitable, just giving themselves for the sake of the Lord's work, and doing so where there's context of family, together and jointly and with shared vision and shared heart. And you know, folks, that's the substance of which great churches are made, you know, that have an impact, that make a difference in people's lives. You know, and it just starts with those family units that have they're helping each other. And they have a devotion not only to each other, but in even greater measure to serving the Lord together. And that's my desire, that, you know, my wife and I, that would be true of us till the day the Lord takes us home. You know, it's my desire for each couple, each individual, each family here, that you would just devotedly serve God together, you help each other, until whatever time God says, okay, well done, good and faithful servant, time for a rest. But for now, we just keep going with that single-mindedness, with that giving spirit, with that ministry focus, to let God use us. And folks, it makes a difference in people's lives. You know, you'd be amazed at the things that, you know, the people, and you probably have them yourselves, things that someone said to you once, something that someone did, an area where someone ministered to you, helped you, encouraged you, taught you something, and you look back on it now and you realize, you know, that was a defining moment in my life. And that person or those persons who helped you in that way, they may not even realize it. It might have been just something that was in the normal flow of life to them, and yet for you, it made all the difference. My wife would tell you of a time when I was out at sea, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, and you know, and the press of things was weighty, and the challenges of living the Christian life, and we were pretty young in the Lord at that point in time, were burdensome, and she was kind of having those thoughts that sometimes come, you know, about maybe it's time to throw in the towel. And our pastor at that time, just out of the blue, picked up the phone and called her and said, "How are you doing?" You know. Now, I am guessing he, unless she has reminded him of that, he probably doesn't remember that phone call. Probably one of many he made to a lot of people over a period of time. Just, you know, wanting to be encouragement, being, I think, led of the Spirit of God, you know, to be burdened about this individual or that individual at a particular time. But for Becky, that was a defining moment. And God used it to make a big difference in her life, and hence mine, okay? Because the two, they go together, okay? And you know, there are so often little ways where we are committed to faithful service, faithful ministry, and God can take those things. God can take, you know, Aquila and Priscilla probably didn't fully appreciate what was going to come of the time they spent with Apollos, but it made a big difference. God used it. I'm sure there's ways that they were helping the Apostle Paul, and in some cases there were things they probably didn't give much thought to. This is just kind of part and parcel of the life, and yet those things were instrumental to him, and in particularly and acutely encouraging to him at this time or that. You know, some of you sometimes do some things, say some things that are just overwhelmingly encouraging to me, and you might not even know it. But you know, it just lifts my spirits and goads me on, and you know, encourages me that, you know, God is doing great things. And so God wants to use us like that. And it comes out of just that devoted, determined, focused life where we say, you know what, God, whatever you have, I'll do that. You show me, you guide me, you direct me. And I'll help those around me. We'll encourage each other, and we'll just watch and see all that God will do. Let me ask you to stand to your feet.